I'm turning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, and I shall read one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, and our subject today is God's covenant. God's covenant. Verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive." In Christ, all shall be made alive. We have been, in the last weeks, we've been going through the London Baptist Confession, the 1689 Baptist Confession, and today we have arrived at chapter 7 of that confession, and we saw last week that man lost paradise and was contaminated by wickedness, and that was the fall of man. Adam and Eve fell. All mankind lost communion with God, and we made ourselves liable to miseries. And that's why misery came into the world, because sin entered the world. And at the end of that, death and eternal separation from God and hell. And the fall made mankind by nature enemies with God. And the wrath of God was upon sin. And the very nature of man was deserving dreadful judgment, which was death and eternal separation. So today, our subject is God's answer to man's dreadful problem. And the subject is God's covenant. God's covenant. And the question is this: did God leave mankind to perish in a state of misery? And the answer is no, he did not. He made a covenant of grace. It's also known as the covenant of peace, the covenant of mercy. And it's also known as, he says, "I will make an everlasting covenant with you." This is an everlasting covenant, and it is made by the one who said, "I will, I will." And that's Isaiah 55 and verse 3 for those taking notes. Well, why was a covenant necessary? Because man had no way to save himself. It was impossible for man to redeem himself. Therefore, God was pleased to enter covenant with fallen man and restore him by the life of a redeemer. And we grasp the great love that God had towards us. We saw last week that we, mankind, is the pinnacle of his creation. You and I are the pinnacle of his creation. And he offered no salvation to the fallen angels. He offered no redeemer, died for the fallen angels, yet for the pinnacle of his creation, man, God provides a covenant. He provides salvation. He provides a redeemer that our sins may be washed away. I was just reading about how deep the ocean is. And there are some places in the ocean off the Philippines that are so deep that you could take the whole of Mount Kenya and drop it in the ocean and it would just disappear and you wouldn't see it anymore. Well, that's what this covenant of grace does. It's our sins are removed. As far as the east is from the west, they are cast into the sea and they are remembered no more. What a wonderful grace it is, the covenant of grace. The salvation of God's elect is based upon the covenant of redemption that was transacted entirely between the Father and the Son. God the Father and God the Son. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, before the foundation of the world, before you were ever born, before I was ever born, God made an oath. God made a solemn promise to Christ. And that promise is called the covenant. The covenant. And it was to fulfill his eternal plan. This was the plan, to save all those that the Father had given to Jesus Christ. Jesus clearly said, all those the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will in no means cast out. That's John 6 and verse 37 and to 38. So all those that the Father has given to Jesus will come to salvation. It's also known as I've mentioned, the covenant of peace. It's an arrangement between the Father and the Son, in which the Son promises to act in the place of every sinner, that he would suffer and die on their behalf so that they will not have to suffer and they will not have to die. What grace that is. He made peace for us by his precious blood, gaining redemption by his precious blood. He is the Redeemer and the Forgiver of his people. Let me just say some words about the covenant of peace. We know that before we were Christians, we were all lost. We were enemies of God by our nature. We were against God. We hated God. There was a great gulf between God and between man. And God was out of our reach. We couldn't reach God on our own. This is why God made peace through Jesus Christ, because we needed a Savior. We couldn't save ourselves. Romans 5:1 says that, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And right here, we get a glimpse of how we enter this eternal covenant, how we come into this covenant. We are justified by faith. By faith, we are justified. Now, we cannot boast. We cannot say it's my faith that saved me, because faith is a gift of God. Faith is something that is imparted by God. Without the gift, we cannot even believe. So if God did not impart to us saving faith, it would be impossible to even come to him. And also, without the Holy Spirit, the precious Holy Spirit, working in our hard and our cold hearts, he's the one that comes and softens the hard heart, that opens our hearts, we were so blinded. We couldn't see or understand anything spiritual at all. And the wonderful Holy Spirit came and opened our spiritually blind eyes, opened our deaf ears, softened our hard hearts. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we couldn't have been saved. And he, and then faith was imparted to us. That is grace. That is the doctrine of grace. The such grace imparted. Covenant of grace. Why is it called the covenant of grace? Because we're all undeserving. Every one of us are undeserving, but the exceeding richness of his grace, his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, that's the covenant that he has made. It's kindness, it's grace, it's mercy. We are justified freely by grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified freely by grace through faith. If saving grace and saving faith was withheld, it would be impossible to get saved. But grace opened our eyes. And I read to you in Titus chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, we are justified by grace. God has cast our sins behind his back as far as the east is from the west. God has done this. He has paid the price. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. But not all accept this great mercy that is offered. Not all have strength to carry out the conditions required. It's by pure grace that we are saved. When God made a covenant with Abraham, Abraham fell down in awe before him, and he was amazed that such grace was shown to him. His heart was stirred, he was touched. But how sad today, men and women, they hear of the grace of God, but they don't treasure it. They don't fall down in awe. They don't value it. They don't make it the most valuable gift that they could possibly receive. They just shun it and push it aside. Grace must first open our eyes, for our eyes have been blinded by the God of this world. The God of this age has blinded. And grace, this covenant of grace, God opens our eyes so that we can see, so that we can know. Now, let's say that your eyes are beginning to be opened and you say, well, I feel I want to come into this covenant with the Lord. I want to enter into covenant with the Lord. What are the conditions of the covenant? Well, the only conditions and obligations that God agrees with are based upon his eternal promises, his word. He is bound by nothing else except his holy word and his eternal word. And his good pleasure, God's good pleasure, is to bestow upon us that which we could never earn. We cannot earn salvation. Let me give you an example. The wages of sin is death. It's something that's earned. So if you sin a lot, well, you will be paid for it and you will reap death. But the gift of God, you don't earn the gift. A gift is something freely given. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. So the covenant of grace is sovereignly enforced by God. He did not consult with man. He did not ask you what he should do. While you were yet a sinner, he died for you. Before you were even born, before the world was ever created, Christ made a covenant with the Father, agreed that he would come. He did not consult with anyone except with himself. And the covenant of grace is an agreement between the divine Godhead. The Father agreed to give his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Christ agreed. God gave. The Father agreed and he gave. Christ agreed and he came as a ransom for many. He died upon the cross for you and for me, suffered and bled and took the weight of our guilt upon himself. And then the Holy Spirit also agreed. He agreed to make it an actual application. He is the one that actually applies redemption to those that the Father has chosen. Salvation is conditional only in this sense. There's only one condition for salvation, and that is that the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. That's the only condition for salvation, that the Holy Spirit come and work in our hearts and impart faith and impart grace and open our hearts. And another way of saying this, it's very simple, is if the Holy Spirit doesn't work in our hearts, it's impossible to be saved. We know that. And the condition to enter this covenant, we could say it is faith. But no one can glory that they are saved by their faith because of what they have done. Faith is imparted by grace. Without saving faith, couldn't enter. God has singled out this one grace being the condition to enter the covenant. Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus. I'll read to you the verse. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. This covenant that God makes with us, it's a bond that ties us to Christ, holds us steady, holds us firm. God knows how slippery our hearts are. He knows how easily we depart from him. He knows how easily we fall. So he has made covenant with us, with himself, that ties us to him. The new covenant that God made is by far better than the old covenant. The first covenant was so strict. If you disobeyed just one of the laws of the covenant, you would forfeit everything. Everything would be lost. There was no one could keep the strictness of the first covenant. But the covenant of grace is so much better, better covenant God made with us. It's a covenant that takes our sins away. The covenant of grace offers repentance when we fall into transgression. The covenant of grace offers a mediator, Jesus Christ. Let us never forget, the first covenant was by works, But the second covenant is by believing. It is by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. Let me say something about works. Yes, of course we do works. That goes without saying. Scripture teaches us that. Titus 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, that they which have believed in God, be careful to maintain good works. So we're not, as Christians, excused from good works, but these good works do not cause us to be saved. It is only believing in Christ Jesus that we are saved. Good works don't earn the right to be in the covenant, but rather good works show that you are alive in Christ. It's proof, it's an evidence that you are alive in Christ. The first covenant, works were required for salvation. In the new covenant, they are still required, but they're required as evidence of your love for God. If you really love God, you'll work for Him. You will do anything for Him. How do we know that we have received the covenant of grace? How do you know that you are in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, that saving faith has saved you? Well, here are some of the marks of those that are in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. God's covenant people are humble people. God's covenant people are humble people. And we see this so clearly in that well-known Bible verse, God resists the proud, but He gives grace more and more to the humble. That's a mark that we are in covenant, that we are humble. 1 Peter 5:5. And we understand that we are humble, and we esteem others as better than ourselves. We're not proud. We're not arrogant. We're humble people. Philippians 2 and verse 3. It's a simple test. It's a simple test. You can be sure of this, that God is not in covenant with those whom He resists. And who does He resist? He resisteth the proud. But to the humble, He gives grace more and more. Number two, covenant people, this is a mark that you are truly in covenant. They are willing and they are obedient. Willing and obedient. We cannot serve God perfectly. Not one of us serves God perfectly. But every one of us can and should serve God willingly, from a willing heart. And that means that we don't complain. We don't complain that the Bible is too big, we can't read it all. We don't complain the church service is too long. We don't complain when trials and temptations and difficulties come. We don't murmur, but we gladly face difficulties that that providence brings our way. We are bold. We are strong. We are covenant people. We are willing to face difficulty, if need be, for the sake of the kingdom. We endure hardship as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, "Thy people shall be made willing in the day of your power." The willingness to follow and the drawing and the leading of the Spirit of Christ draws us and makes us willing and makes our service acceptable. A willing heart is an acceptable service to the Lord. I read this quote and I'll read it to you. God sometimes accepts willingness without work, but He never accepts work without willingness. He's looking for a willing heart. Covenant people are willing people, obedient and willing. And number three, covenant people are consecrated people. Consecrated people. They have holiness, the holiness of the Lord written upon them. I often say this, and I say it again. When they greet you, they don't say, Buona Asafiwe, I'm saved. You see that they are saved. You see righteousness and integrity and holiness upon them. And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all peoples on the face of the earth. That's who you are. You're a special people for the Lord, a people called to display holiness. And under the old covenant, under the law, the priests were not only to wash, you remember the laver when they came into the tabernacle, they had to wash in that giant laver, but they were also to wear priestly robes, garments, priestly garments. And God's covenant people are not only to be washed from their sins, they are also to be clothed with holiness of heart, holiness of heart. They bear not only God's name, but they bear his image as well. When people look at you, do they say, I can see Jesus Christ in you? That is somebody that is truly in covenant. Holiness is God's stamp that we are owned by him, that he is indeed our Father. Now, there are some people, they truly want to be in covenant with God, but they fear. They say, well, what if I'm not chosen? What if I'm not one of the elect? What if he won't let me into covenant because my transgressions are so many, my sin is so much? And I read this, that was a comfort to my heart. As the waters of the sea cover the huge rocks. Sometimes you can go to the coast at low tide, you see all the rocks. But when the sea comes in, when the tide rises, you only see water. You don't see the rocks. The rocks are covered. And God's covenant mercies, they cover the greatest and the biggest sins. When his mercy comes, it doesn't matter how tall your sins were, they will be covered by the mercy. Our sins may be many. We may weary the Lord with our iniquities. But our God is a gracious Redeemer. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Isaiah 43 verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. I will not remember thy sins. I will not remember your sins. I will blot them out. When Jesus Christ was suffering upon the cross, he cried out in a loud voice to those Roman soldiers that had nailed those nails through his hands, those Roman soldiers that had spat upon him, that had slapped him, that had twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and beat him with reeds. And he said to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you see the grace? He forgives none of us have done something that bad. He will forgive our sins. He will blot our transgressions away. He will remove our transgressions from us. So let me answer the other question that I posed. There are some that fear, what if I'm not one of the elect? But take comfort in this. Take great comfort in this. If you are ashamed of your sins, there is hope. There is hope. For who is it that brings conviction of sin? Is it not the Holy Spirit who said, I will convict of sin and unrighteousness and impending judgment? So if the Holy Spirit brings conviction to you of your sin, why would he bring conviction and not show mercy unto us? If he has brought conviction, he is willing to forgive. He is willing to pardon. Why would he convict us if he didn't want us to receive mercy? The conviction, some people hate conviction, but conviction is a gift from God. It is the riches of his grace that makes us sorry for our sins. Oh, friend, when we feel guilt, when we feel conviction of sin, rejoice. Rejoice because mercy is being shown unto you. A way of salvation is being offered unto you. Still others feel, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to enter the covenant with God. And I want to remind you, God never made this covenant of grace with man based upon his worthiness. Sin makes it impossible for any man to reach God. The distance is too great. But God's dealings with mankind are gracious. They are merciful. They are full of pity. They are full of kindness. Think of this. If God only showed mercy to the worthy, then nobody would ever get saved because no man is worthy. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God shows mercy. The covenant of God is based upon the riches of his grace. The covenant of God is based upon his love that he freely displays towards us. We should never let unworthiness discourage us. Don't say, I'm unworthy. It's never unworthiness that excludes anybody from the covenant. It's unwillingness. Unwillingness to receive his mercy. A couple of years ago, I heard a terrible testimony of a lady that was very ill. She was dying of cancer. And a servant of God went to minister to her and had been praying and hoped that they could present the gospel to them, and said to this dear sister, I want to tell you about the Redeemer, about Jesus Christ. And she said, no, no religion, not for me. I don't want that. Leave me alone. There was grace being offered, but she was not willing to receive it. The prince of this world, Satan, had blinded her eyes, and sadly, she perished without ever receiving the grace of God. Oh, when we feel conviction come, what a grace it is. What a grace it is that we can say, Lord, I'm in need of salvation. I'm in need of forgiveness of my sins. Now, we know that salvation is of God. There's no doubt. Salvation is 100% of God. But there is still a response that you and I have when grace is offered. And let me go through them. There are 3 points as we begin to draw to a close. Number one is that we seek God by prayer. This grace we seek by prayer. The Lord has made a promise, and the promise is this, that if we pray to Him, the covenant will be confirmed. The covenant will be granted. He will be our God, and we will be His people. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. This is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Zechariah 13, verse 9. This is my people. But it begins with prayer, calling upon the Lord. But in reverence, we don't just pray irreverently. We're praying to the Lord of heaven and earth, and we come to Him with great respect, and we come to Him with faith, and we come making our prayer passionate from the heart. Oh Lord, I'm in need of salvation. I see it. Save me, oh Lord. It's a plea from the heart. God does not refuse a prayer from the heart. Come as a persistent seeker, determined to not be refused, and you shall indeed receive. Number two, if we want to enter into this covenant, our responsibility, we must break off the old covenant with sin. We must turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. We cannot be Christians and continue living in darkness. We cannot be Christians and continue serving Satan and then on Sundays serve God. No, we break off the old ways. We turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts. That is what is expected, repentance. How will a king, a natural king, enter into covenant with people who are still in league with his enemy? Let's say you are still in covenant with the enemy and you want to also be friends with the king. The king will say, no. Cut off that relationship. If you want to be in fellowship with me, and we have to put off the old and put on the new. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts. If you want to enter the covenant, point number three, we must trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way, only by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We believe in the blood, we have confidence in the blood, there's safety in the blood. It is God's mercy. The precious blood of Jesus Christ brings us, who were once far away, brings us very near. We are made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. The crowning mercy of this grace. Well, first, there are two sides of this wonderful grace, this wonderful covenant. And the first is spiritual. And we should speak about that, for it is indeed the most important, who forgives all your iniquities. He forgives all our sins, heals all our diseases. The terrible disease of sin, He heals. Who redeems our lives from destruction and crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, pardon and peace. He pardons us, and peace is made. What grace. You can read this when you get home. Psalm 103, from about verse 3 to the whole psalm. Read Psalm 103 when you get home, and you will see the wonderful grace, the crowning mercy of grace. So this is no longer fire, earthquake, but now it is a rainbow of promise. It is glory and it is wonderful. And in this eternal covenant of grace, we receive all our spiritual needs met, pardon, reconciliation to God, but also our temporal needs. There are temporal mercies and fruits of the covenant. Evil and wicked men receive mercies by common grace. God reigns on the just and the unjust. He allows the wicked to breathe oxygen freely. He doesn't charge them. And there is mercy. There is providence. God's providence for those that are not in covenant. But it's not God's love. Us, or those that are in covenant with God, have God's mercies sweetened by God's love. They live and they move and they have their being in Christ. In our journey through this world to our eternal home, we have a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever our circumstance may be, the covenant is more than enough. If you're pressed with temptations, if you're pressed with difficulties, we can plead the covenant. And I was reading how the Puritans of old would plead the covenant and how they would pray. And I thought it would be good to just read to you the method that they prayed. So here is a person of long ago. They are pressed with temptations and they're beginning to pray. And this is their prayer. Lord, thou hast promised to bruise Satan under thy feet shortly. Lord, do you want your child to suffer and to be worried? Take off the roaring lion. Take off the roaring lion, Lord. Let me not suffer. You have bruised Satan under your feet, Lord. Let me have the victory. This is how they prayed, boldly. And for those that were in lack, those that were struggling with lack, they said, Lord, thou hast said, I shalt want no good thing. Wilt thou save me from hell and not save me from want and lack? Will you give me the kingdom and deny me my daily bread? They prayed boldly. They knew they were in covenant with the Lord. And when we are in covenant with the Lord, we know that every wind of providence that blows in our life blows us closer and nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't complain. We trust the Lord. Psalm 25 and verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. We should never think that when we face affliction, that God has forsaken us. We should not think that. Afflictions add to the glory of the saints. The more a diamond is skillfully cut, the more it sparkles. The heavier our cross is, the heavier our crown will be. Oh, what wonderful. Don't think that you are no longer in covenant just because hardship comes. This is an everlasting covenant that God has made. God's electing love is unchangeable. It's a covenant that can never, never be dissolved. Jeremiah 32 and verse 40. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do to them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. If we face death, we have no fear. Death only breaks the covenant between the body and the soul, but death perfects the union between my soul and my God. Death cannot break up the covenant. There have been those, the martyrs, even the apostles, that have desired death as a bride desires her wedding day. Friends, there is something to be thankful for, something to give God praise for, something that we can be so thankful that we can take up the cup of salvation and bless the Lord. Even eternity will be too short to bless the Lord for the great covenant that He has made with us. God loves to bestow mercies where the praises are loudest. Let that work of thanksgiving begin now on earth, that which you are going to do in heaven forever and forever. Thank Him for that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Now, I must come to a close. Ask yourself this question. Can I bless the Lord that my iniquities are forgiven? Ask yourself, have I realized my need for salvation and my need to enter the covenant? Have I asked in prayer for God to save me? Have I broken off and turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God? Have I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you should answer no, and you still feel there's a great need in your heart that you should have answered yes, God is showing grace to you right now. Right now, saving faith is near to you. Call upon Him, for today is the day of salvation. Salvation is near to all them that call upon Him. Bow your heart and bow your head and call upon Him, and you shall be saved. Amen and amen.